This is Hawaii Rising, a podcast from the Hawaii People's Fund. I'm Kenji Cataldo. Today we put out an Olelo Hawaii special episode with Mehana Van from Kipuka Kuleana, speaking to our guest host Hina Kaopua Kanonigo. This is a short companion episode in English, sharing part of our first interview with Kumu Mehana from the fall of 2021.
Aloha, I'm Mehana Van. I come from Kalihiwai, here on the island of Kauai, where Ko'olau and Halele'a Moku come together. It was the spring of 2015, and I had just started working at UH Manoa and was hired there to be one of four Hawaiian faculty working to try to bridge the university and community and to engage students in community projects and community work. And a place that I loved as a child growing up and had been thinking about was the coast that we call Anini, which is actually three Ahupua'a, Kalihiwai, Kalihikai, and Wanini. And it's a place that changed so much since I was a kid. It had such a healthy, amazing reef. It was where we went on field trips to go, you know, learn about coral reefs when we were children. And it had become quite degraded. And also all the families that used to live in that place in their beach homes, all of the Hawaiian families that I grew up with seeing there, almost all of them had moved away. So I directed a spring semester class to having my students come here to Kauai, and we were able to interview, with Mickey and Jen's help, we interviewed 40 different community members who grew up in that place and who spent their childhoods there and who shared their stories of that place. And they really shared stories of abundance, of living off the reef there, of a reef that was so covered with limu that you had to be careful when you walked or you would step in the holes and not know it and fall in the holes. And of a sharing lifestyle where they had everything they wanted. They only had to go to the store, basically, I think they said, for salt, sugar, and maybe cooking fat and oil for their lamps, where you would go across the road in the morning and catch fish for your grandmother's breakfast every day, and where they had taro patches. And they talked about the changes, and they talked about how the imposition of a resort above and how that and the golf course runoff had changed the reef. And also just how, as the area had become more and more of a tourist destination and a place for second homes and vacation homes, how that had raised property values and made it harder and harder for them to stay. And of all the families we talked to, there were, you know, two that felt they could hold on to their lands. And there were two that were still continuing to live there. And they walked with us. They mapped. Mm-hmm. Remember, they did a map of all the families that lived along that coast, house by house, in the 1960s. And that was after enduring two tidal waves, but sort of this new tidal wave of foreign ownership and people moving in and seeing the land in a different way as a commodity and property really was displacing. And so we shared back their interviews in a big community gathering in the beach park there. And we figured out that that's why that beach park is so popular. That's why it's so busy. All these families go back to camp. They were married there. They have baby luau's there. They have funerals there. Even if they can't live there, they go back. And we brought them all back to have this community party and celebration to share the work. And it was one of the first times they'd all been in the same place in decades. Mm-hmm. And it was so... And the students learned an oli. One of the things they turned up in their research was a song Auntie Alice Namakelua wrote for the place when she visited one of those families in the 60s and sat on the porch. And it shared of the feeling of the breeze and the waving of the palm trees and the sound of the ocean. And we were struck by how much hasn't changed, even as the whole people community has changed. And yet their ties endure. And it made us think, what's being done to prevent this? And to keep those families who still hold lands on our island, and particularly often these coastal desired lands, how do we keep them there? Because the community changes so much when everyone moves away and when it's all vacation rentals. And these are the families you go borrow their shower and you borrow their phone to call your mom to pick her up before cell phones because you surf too long. Or, you know, if you get cut, you go for a Band-Aid and they take care of the beach. They regulate. They kick people out. They don't let people drive on the beach. They pick up the opala. They watch the cycles. They warn the neighbors when there's a flood. They get everyone up in a tsunami warning. Like, without them, we don't have community. And they really are picos and pillars of community. And we thought, what are the needs they have? Mm-hmm. And who's working with them to help them stay in their place? And if they've lost their place, to have spaces, to have kipuka at which they can come back to and continue to fulfill these kuleana of being the kupaina, of being the people of that place and holding that space and caring for it. So just one thing to clarify, we work in four areas. We work in education, we work in research, mm-hmm. And that can be helping families find their kuleana documents, et cetera. We work on policy initiatives. And then the last one is really important, stewardship, taking care of places and working mm-hmm. with community groups that are taking care of places. And I guess that's one change I'll say I've seen, and Jen may have others, but one of the things I see is community groups springing up all over Hawaii to care for places through all sorts of mechanisms. They may have a lease with DLNR. They may have a memorandum of agreement with state parks. They might have an access agreement with a landowner. Mm-hmm. They might have a formal nonprofit. They might just go and clean up the beach. But these are all groups coming together to care for places and to hold that space. And they're mechanisms by which families return. For example, the Hui Maka'ainana o Makana in Haena takes care of the lo'i in the state park that their families were evicted from in the 60s when the state park was made. And hardly any Hawaiian families still live in Haena because of the desirability and cost of real estate there. Yet every month, their families are gathering almost every weekend and taking care of those lo'i, feeding their families from that place, welcoming other people to come, having a space to camp, conducting lawai'a camps where their kids learn about pono fishing, in developing policies of community management of fisheries that are spreading all across Hawaii. So these kipuka, just like when you have a lava flow and it goes around and destroys everything around it, and then that bit of forest that remains becomes the seed bank to reseed and reforest all of the surroundings. What I see is more and more community groups springing up, many learning from others, Pai Pai Oheia, Fish Pond staff going out to start Waimanalo Limuhui, and them growing and thriving and becoming more abundant and amazing in teaching across generations and enabling this kind of stewardship and restoration of connection to place.
To listen to the full episode about Kipuka Kuleana with Kumu Mehana, as well as Jennifer Luck, scroll down to the beginning of our feed and check out Episode 2, Kipuka Kuleana, Protecting Ancestral Lands on Kauai. Hawaii Rising is a podcast from the Hawaii People's Fund produced by me.
And me.
With additional support from...
Mickey!
Our theme music is Revolutionary from the band Ukla the Mock, written and sung by Mickey Hui Hui. A big thank you to our community supporters and to you, our audience, for listening.
Ahui ho!